and welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 136. Yes, 136. I am your host, Will Wilson, and with me is John Jordan.
Hello, Will, how are you?
I'm all right. Well, I'm tired.
Oh. Tired in a good way?
Yes, in a good way. I don't know what that really means.
Well, there's lots of reasons you could be tired, isn't there? So.
Oh, okay. Ah, the reasons for being tired, not the actual tiredness itself.
Oh no.
Okay. I'm tired. I'll probably talk more about it a bit later. But yes, we should. But there's no Keith this week.
Where's old Keith then?
I have no idea.
Really?
Yeah. I think he's off on holiday, swanning about.
Swanning about. That's what Keith normally swans about.
Yeah, he does. Well, he
saying that, how long have I been away for?
Yeah, you've been away for a fortnight now.
Is it only a fortnight?
I think
longer than that?
I don't know. You've been to like many foreign cities, met interesting people and shot them.
And Brighton. I went to Brighton as well.
You went to Brighton. so it's the two of us this week in the pod. We've got mainly game news coming up for you. We're recording this on a Wednesday, which is a little bit unusual, but I'm sure we'll cope. Right, before we get started, though, it's the bit that John hasn't experienced yet. It is the adverts. Okay, let me just take down the number I've got. Okay, so one more week after this one. And then it's all over. We don't have to do any more Sonic and Sega adverts. Right. I've had a few suggestions from Evan Essence from Twitter. Or I think it's... Well, maybe it's meant to be pronounced Evanescence. But who cares? But I'm not going to do any of them because I can't... A musical version of the podcast would be quite tricky. saying that as an ex-music person. Yes, but I'll think of some crazy voice. Have you heard the other podcast yet, John? Do you know what this entails?
No idea what you're talking about.
No idea. Okay. Well, normally, I have to say out this speech and I have to put on a silly voice. So this week, have you got any suggestions for silly voices that I could try and do this in?
No, I don't know what silly voice you can do.
All right, fair enough.
I don't want to make you uncomfortable.
I'm already okay. I'm tired as well. Tiredness affects my silly voices. I'm fatigued more than anything rather than tired. I just feel like my body's going bleh. Anyway, so I'll try this one. No, wait, I can't. No, I've already done that voice. I'm running out of damn voices. That's the problem. Okay. I'm just going to do this straight. Let's get rid of it. Sonic and Sega All-Star Racing just launched for iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch. Help Sonic celebrate its 20th anniversary. Get this awesome app today. And Sonic and Sega All-Star Racing, your favorite soccer club, is coming together to build a lab and run a midfield race to the finish line. That was okay. It's pretty normal.
I couldn't hear it after a little bit, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be annoyed with the second paragraph.
I think my internet sped up or something.
Yeah, sorry, it was just garbled. It was just the way the fast forward button works. Anyway, let's crack on and go to the news.
News.
First up in the news this week. What are we going to go for? Should we go for Gumbross?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Glue's Gumbross has just started selling a weapon called the Kraken. Kraken something?
Just the Kraken.
Is it just the Kraken?
Yep.
They started selling it. That's all right. You know, they sold lots of weapons. And it's for real money. But that's it's Warbucks.
Warbucks, yeah.
Yeah, well, Warbucks is paid for with real money.
Yeah. You can earn them. Sorry, should I let you tell the story first?
Yes.
before telling
yes,
you
thank
completely
you.
Wrong.
Yeah, thank you. So, yeah, so it's you have to buy it with real money, unless you earn the real money. And it is worth 3,499 warbucks, which translates to around $500 in-app purchases. Now, how crazy is that? How crazy is that? I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, how crazy is it?
Why is it crazy?
$500.
Yeah. You don't have to buy it, do you?
I know, but that's just mad.
What?
Who would buy it?
Someone who's very rich. Why? I don't know why everyone gets so kind of almost like upset, almost like offended that people will spend real money for virtual things.
I think it's half out of sympathy. It's like,
but you don't have to do it. I don't understand the, you know, it's like, with all these freemium games, you don't have to if you really don't want to spend money. And clearly something that's going to cost you $500 is, you know, they're not really expecting more than, you know, a handful of people to buy this, you know.
So I guess it also offends the sensibilities of the gamer in the fact that you want to get the best weapons, right? You want to earn the best weapons. But then when the best weapons are taken away from you and given to the rich kid who lives down the road in his mansion, you're going to feel a little bit like, well, hang on a moment. This isn't very good. In games, there shouldn't be a social class divide in games. Games is where you escape to. I don't want to find my social, like my unfortunate like situation affecting me in games as well as in real life. You know, there we go. There's sympathy. There's a sort of like, you know.
You don't sound very sympathetic.
I sound more annoyed.
Sound
it's
quite
starting
angry.
To turn into me. But, you know, it's just like, why, how come someone else in a better situation than I gets these weapons, which are like the best things in the game that you can get? And I could never get anything like that. You see, if I'm really invested in a game, I'd feel kind of like personally offended. It's like giving the BFG in Doom, but like requiring you to pay a tenner extra to get it. Yeah.
No, it's not because it's the.
Well, it's not real.
$500.
Yeah.
So it's not like
$500 for BFG. You know.
I mean, the weird, the more weird thing about the gun was originally it was they put the price up, so originally it was like $200-ish. So obviously they realized, you know, it's one of those things where, and actually I was talking to the CEO of Glue, just like an hour ago, Niccolo, and I was talking to him about it, and he was just like, well. You know, there are these people who will spend a lot of money in games, you know, and that's not everyone. And for him running a company, if he can get, you know, a couple of extra $1,000 just by people buying this, then why would he not do it? So, I mean, it's obviously a balance where at some point it will be seen as being, you know, kind of obscene, I guess, in a way. But equally, you have to realise that from a you know, financial point of view, and even from a societal point of view, that there, you know, there are just a lot of millionaires in the world, so that's kind of why it works.
Just disappointed. I'm just disappointed.
But it's, yeah. I mean, when it get, you know, I don't know. I mean, there's obviously the divide, the slight issue with freemium games is the way they fund them is that you're paying, you're kind of they're all still pretty much are not based around skill. So that's the traditional gaming has been based around skill. So your skill improves as you go through the game. Whereas in most freemium games, just it's not so you're doing the same thing pretty much all the time, and it's just the items you have give you kind of more power. So I mean that's the divide. But I don't really understand why people get upset about it. I mean, it's just, you know, someone has a Rolls Royce.
You know. I get upset about that.
Well,
I want a Rolls Royce.
Just an angry man. But partly equally, you know. The human psychology of it is that some people will be really, you know, Gun Brothers will be their favourite game ever. And so they will be, or if it was like $100, they might buy it. But if it's $500, you know, so, you know, there is a human psychological element to it that you can get some of those people. It's not $1,000, you know, it's not $1,000.
The thing is, you might as well just buy another iPad.
Yeah, but that. But if you've already got an iPad or an iPhone, then why would you just want another one for the sake of it? I
mean, well, maybe you could buy a second-hand car.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, there's a lot of things you could maybe buy for $500. We'll be here all night. Well, thanks for that, devil's advocate.
Not devil's advocate, this is what I believe.
Well, no sensible person could believe that. Just trying to rile you, John, don't worry. Final Fantasy Tactics, talking of expensive.
Yeah, expensive. This is kind of...
expensive games. Final Fantasy Tactics is being released tonight from when we're recording, so yesterday, if you're listening to it on Thursday. And it is, as I predicted a while back, going to be pretty much the most expensive game out there. That isn't Gun Brothers fictional weapons. It's £10.99 in pounds, $15.99 in dollars for Final Fantasy Tactics War of the Lions. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have Retina. Is a port of quite a few years old PSP version.
I can hear the disgust.
£10.99. £11. You know what I could buy for £11, John?
What could you buy for £11, Paul?
Orange Box on PC.
Oh, but you've already got it.
Yeah, I've already got it.
Well then, why you? So what comparison is that then?
Yeah, but I'd get like Portal, Half-Life 2, Episode 1 and 2, Team Fortress 2 for less than it would cost that.
I think you're being confused financially about the value of money.
I'm not confused financially. It's just that I make mistakes easily.
I mean, I think it's an odd thing where people say something that is $15 is really expensive when clearly on PSP when it came out, any of you could find it in the shops now, it would be whatever it would be.
I think the key phrase there is when it came out, though, because I mean, I could buy Mirror's Edge for £3 on Xbox now. That's new as well. That's not pre-owned. But that was out. That's actually newer, I think, if I remember rightly, than War of the Lions.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But I mean, that's kind of economics working. That's the economics of real goods. If you've got like if you've got boxes of Mirror's Edge in a shop somewhere, you know, in a warehouse somewhere, then that's a physical thing, and you have to look after it or throw it away, so you just want to get rid of it. I mean, the whole point about digital, obviously, is it's completely different on that. So, but Square Enix have always priced their games high. That's something they decided to do. You know, that's clearly a philosophy they've taken with all their games. And I kind of think I can see why they've done it, because you know it's exactly the same game. So if people have played it before on PSP, then probably most people aren't going to want to buy it again because it's exactly the same game. You're not getting anything different. So not that many people are going to buy it. It's not even a Final Fantasy game. It's a Final Fantasy Tactics game. It's even more hardcore. So basically, it's a niche market game. You're not going to get a lot of people.
But playing this let game. Me so throw you a not? Name.
Got them.
Civilization Revolution.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm. Well, that retailed for $3.99, $4.99.
So?
It's a niche game. It's a big game franchise.
Civilization's not a niche game. Civilization is I know, I mean, hardcore's wrong, but you know, Civilization has been massively successful in a way that.
But it's still niche. It's not like in the wider terms. I mean, console games always sell more than PC games. That's always been the case. But it's a big selling PC game, which makes it niche. Because it wasn't an old game that's been ported. It was a DS game that was a few months older, like younger than the DS version.
Oh yeah. I don't disagree that in relative terms compared to what else is on the platform, obviously Final Fantasy Tactics on the App Store looks a not particularly good value for money experience. But I think I wouldn't do it. Kind of a big discussion on Twitter about this that I kind of think the final Square should do it, some sort of, I mean, it'd be harder to do, but do some sort of freemium thing. I think a game like Final Fantasy Tactics they'd make more money if they made it as cheap as possible, because then it appealed to the largest number of people, because a lot of people kind of like Final Fantasy, they know that thing, but they're not going to spend a lot of money. I mean, so I kind of think if somehow they could do it freemium, they would actually make a lot more money. But I think they've obviously decided they don't want it. They don't think it's going to sell a lot of units. So what's the highest they can price it for those, I don't know, 20,000 people who are definitely going to buy it, who would even buy it if it was, if it went up to $20, how many more people, how many less people would buy it than at 15? That's their thinking. I don't necessarily agree with that in terms of the long term, but I think in terms of this product, it kind of makes sense.
Everything is worth what its purchaser will pay for it.
Yeah, but so the model is becomes how many people at each price point can you attract to it? So.
By the way, that's my favourite quote from, well, one of my favourite quotes from Civilization 4.
Oh.
Yeah, so I linked them in there, you see. My feigned anger has been quiet. Personally, my own first opinion is that, yeah, whatever. $10.99. If you are willing to pay $10.99 for Final Fantasy Tactics, then go ahead. It's a big game. I mean, you can justify it all you want, but I mean, you'll know whether or not you want to pay amount of money for it. So,
I do think that, for me, the really interesting kind of underlying argument in both these situations is that, particularly on digital content, the consumer now feels that they are, you know, that the producer is obliged to sell something as cheap as possible. So people are actually, I get the impression, they're actually offended that Square is selling it at this price. They feel that that's not how the App Store should operate. And that's a kind of an interesting twist, I think, where, and that's clearly what's happened with pricing, you know, going from wherever it was, you know, $5 to 99 cents to now free. And that's in a sense, that's a more worrying kind of trend for people who are developing games. Because I think there is almost like a moral outrage now. If someone put
that's a game, competition, though, isn't it? Driving down the price more than anything.
Yeah. That's the reason it happened. But now it does feel. It does feel if a game is like $10, people do go, that's expensive.
But it is. Well, relatively, it is.
Well, no, but it's the relative that's the issue.
Well, yes, because competition drove down the prices. Now some people are going, oh, hang on, I can put something out that's 20 times more expensive than everything else is. And you're confused that they're so... No, I mean, if you want to... I mean, Final Fantasy Tactics, we haven't reviewed it yet. But it's a big game. And as John said, it's a niche game. As the turn-based squad-based RPG kind of thing. So, you'll know whether you want to pay that money or not.
And I think if someone buys it and plays it all the way through,
they'll definitely get their money's worth.
Feel like they've had their money's worth. So,
yeah.
You know.
It's not a throwaway game, that's for sure. And also, another thing is that Square Enix only have sales when they release a new game. So it's not going to be like that sort of Game Loft or EA situation where next week they'll have a sale and it'll be like £1. So you won't feel completely cheated if you did go for that money right now. But, you know, it's up to you, listeners. We will have a review up on the game soon, but obviously it's quite a big game, so it's going to take quite a few days to play through. Anyway, let's move on from that. Roll. Halfbreak. We'll be bringing back Barry Steak Fries, who... yeah, it's a good name. Machine Gun Jetpack.
Yeah, looks good, doesn't it?
I haven't really had a look at it yet.
Maybe not.
No, I was away in Germany the other day, and all this broke.
Yeah. No, it's looking... I mean, obviously, Half-Brick stuff. It's good. And Machine Gun Jetpack's been... I've not played it, but people have been playing it for the last couple of months in kind of various forms. So, yeah,
it does look actually quite good.
Looking very nice. Kind of, you know, I mean, it's kind of, in a sense, simple, kind of side-scrolling, shooting things, avoiding things. But you know, I think there's enough in there. There's three different characters, simple kind of touch controls. Yeah, exactly. In a sense, exactly, kind of what made Fruit Ninja kind of work so well. You know, really, really great polish. They really focus on making the presentation.
Mm.
And the whole kind of experience is as good as possible. So, and that certainly won't be $10. So.
Yeah. No, it looks decent. You're running along, side-scrolling, using your, I guess, jetpack. It looks like a gun, though.
Well, it's a machine gun jetpack.
Yeah.
You're Barry Steak Fries. He's automatically firing, so that keeps him in the air. But they have different characters. So there's like a bird. It's a bit more like a tiny wings kind of to keep him flying. And I think there's a robot with it. I think it actually does have a jetpack. Three different characters, but Barry is the main one, of course.
Of course, you've got to dodge lasers and collect coins, and yeah, it looks all right.
Yeah.
Yes. When is it meant to be out? September. Yeah. So next month. Badge of Carnage Episode 2 is coming to iOS in September via Telltale. Of course, the original developers. Oh, let me remember this without actually getting Strand Looper.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I actually have it on the webpage. from Northern Ireland. They are behind it, but Telltale are publishing.
Yep.
And yes, it's been a while since the first episode came out. I think about a year, in fact.
No, surely not. Really? I reviewed it.
Yeah, it's about a year. Tracy was on the podcast. That's at least 6 months now.
Yeah, no, at least 6 months. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was. Hang on, let me check.
Okay. Oh, it doesn't matter, does it?
It does matter.
Okay. Well, hopefully they've been taking the time to just, you know...
Yeah, it's over a year. July 2010.
Okay. Hopefully they'll just a few of those... Because I reviewed it and kind of liked it, but felt it was just a little bit too obtuse in many places. So hopefully a bit more...
I thought it was good.
No, it was good, but I just kind of... Yeah, it's always difficult dealing with kind of difficulty spikes, but after I spent half an hour trying to get out of the first room, which was... I'm happy to confess my own stupidity, but equally, it wasn't the best experience.
Well, I thought it was good. Me and Ben thought it was good. Tracy and John didn't think it was good. It's a divisive game.
Well, no, I thought it was good. I just pointed out I kind of felt it was a bit too ambitious for a first game from a debut developer.
I thought it was a very strong debut.
Right, move on. Argument.
Anyway, the episode 2 will be out in autumn.
And isn't episode 3's out quite quickly afterwards as well, isn't it?
Yes, I believe
that's
so.
That's why they've taken the time, because they've kind of like they've backed them up.
But also, yeah, and it's not that. It's pretty recent that Telltale have taken over publishing rights for it as well. So.
Well, yeah, it's pretty recent they've announced it, I think, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, iPhone and iPad version are coming out in the autumn, which is the fall for our American, named fall.
Do you know fall was the original Old English term? So a lot of a lot of things we see as Americanisms are actually
one of them are actually from Old English. I don't care though; it's not real English.
What's real English?
Real English is the stuff like what I say, yeah.
Like how you spell it.
Yeah, like how I spell it. You know, with all those extra U's. yeah, that's basically real English.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Well, no, because you could then say, like, you know, you could go back as far as Anglo-Saxon and say that's real English instead. I mean, you know, it doesn't, that excuse gel with me. The fall sounds like either an apocalyptic moment or a band. Well, it sounds like a band.
But it does make sense, doesn't it, in terms of things falling off the trees. I mean, in a sense, it's more holistic. That's all I'm saying.
All right, fine. Forever Drive.
Forever Drive.
Mm-hmm.
It looks good. It looked good before, but they've changed the name. It was called Drive Forever. This is the next game from Epic Wind Developers, which I don't... Super Mono, that's it. It's their next game. It's now been renamed Forever Drive because of legal reasons.
Well, now look forward to that. Mini Squadron was very good.
Mini Squadron was very good. Both of them, in fact. Although, to be fair, they were basically the same game twice. This looks nice, though. I mean, it's Tron. It's Neon. It's glittery.
Yep. Tack's very good. No, I've met him a few times. He's a very, very talented, committed guy. So, I think he's really put the work in. He's kind of built this new engine.
Yeah,
deferred rendering, if you're interested in that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I am interested in that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It looks great. Yep. Anyway, it will be out soon, I guess. It's nearly finished, apparently.
Yeah, he's not.
It's a racing. Really... Sorry, I haven't described what it is. It's a racing game. You go through a futuristic neon city, and everything's neon bright colours. But yes, looks good. Oh, when you reach the end of a track, the race doesn't end. The game simply stitches another player's creation. Well, I guess you create your own tracks. Sorry, I didn't realise that.
Yeah.
Meaning you continue the race until you run out of time. I like that.
Yeah, he's hardcore tack. I don't think he'll be doing it as freemium.
No.
His style.
But yeah, that looks good. Forever Drive, keep your eye out for it.
There's that other one, the Dark Meadow one. What's happened to that? Are we going to talk about that one?
Wait, I just wanted to go in a different order. Dark Meadow as well looks good. Talking of games that look good. Dark Meadow. This is Unreal Engine. It's got to be, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, looks like it. Unreal Engine games tend to have that look. I can't describe exactly what it is, but I can normally tell when a game's an Unreal Engine game. But yes, Unreal Engine 3. Also, it's very easy on the iPhone because it looks great when it's using Unreal Engine normally. So, yes, 3D horror game. It's got a spooky trailer. That's what's just been released, teaser trailer, where you've got a gravelly-voiced man talking to you about how you're going to go mad. And it's got a mature plot, that's a quote, and RPG light, that's also a quote, mechanics. Coming to iPhone and iPad.
It's not been exactly clear what the gameplay is, is it? Just the trailer is not particularly helpful about
it. It's got monsters. It's got like a freaky glowing child. You got to have a freaky glowing child. I'm sorry. You know, that's kind of a prerequisite. Either that or a crying child that you can only you take a glimpse of and then they disappear or vanish or they pop out and they're monsters.
Okay.
Just telling you the rules. anyway, yes, it's going to be out eventually. We don't know when. Oh, no, later this month. It's coming out for iPhone and iPad later this month. It would be nice if they told us what it was about, really. Anyway, it's got gesture-based combat like Infinity Blade.
Oh, okay.
So, so hopefully it's going to be good. All right, we'll finish off this week's news with news that Angry Birds Seasons, if you haven't heard of this game... Apparently, it's some sort of... I've done that joke so many times. It's not even funny. I've run out of jokes to do about Angry Birds. Anyway, then Angry Birds Seasons, there's a new update coming out next month. There you go.
Okay.
It's based on the Chinese Half Moon, Full Moon Festival, whatever.
Oh, well, at least it's a good one.
Well, it's not really a good one, is it? No one's heard of it outside of China, have they?
Yeah, but it's...
Moon Festival, Mid-Autumn Festival. So there
you go. No, it's good. I mean, I think they've chosen. If you're doing a season thing, it's quite nice. You can do that kind of local stuff where it's kind of, you know, it doesn't. It's like, oh, we haven't heard about that. What's that about? Interesting in China. It's obviously really big. I think
you know what I thought.
It's quite clever.
I thought they'd run out of themes.
No. Do you know how many people they've got? They've got over 100 people in their studio now. They're not going to run out of themes.
Well, no. It's just like we've gone through Christmas, Easter,
it doesn't
Halloween.
Matter. It doesn't matter, does it? They just keep just it's not the game, you know, what you're doing isn't based on what the season is, it? They just keep rolling around doing new ones.
I was speaking to my one of my cousins the other day, and pretty much our only game on the smartphone is Angry Birds.
Yeah, well, why not? I mean, every couple of months you get another 30 levels to do.
Anyway, it's coming out.
Hooray!
September. It is coming out. Yes. Well, it says here it's coming out in September for Chinese players. Huh. Okay.
Maybe just be Chinese. Well.
No, that'll be for the rest of the world after that. Yeah. So there we go. If you three starred everything, then look out for that. I think there's I don't know if this is UK, but I've only just heard this from the chat room talk. But there's also 15 levels you can get if you get Angry Bird, no, Rio, the film, in the US anyway, because it's not out in the UK yet on DVD or Blu-ray.
Okay.
But they're doing a special promotion. So I guess that's going to appear in the UK as well when it comes over. But you get 15 levels, special levels for Rio if you buy the film, which I think is a very clever film tie-in.
It is.
Because they'll hook you. Also, I think Rio, I agree with Keith, I think Rio is their best one of the three. The level design is a lot stronger. Anyway, let's move on. Let's do new releases.
Quite a lot again, aren't there?
Oh, yeah. Okay, let me do my run-up.
Do your shoelaces up.
Uh-huh. Doing it up.
Red Bull.
I haven't got any Red Bull. They confiscated my Red Bull at the airport.
Oh.
And then I set off the alarm walking through and they had to give me a pat down. And there was like, there's nothing in my pockets. I had no idea. I'm pretty sure they just pressed the button. I started chatting to one of the baggage claim people because he said, "Oh, that's an iPad 2. And I went, "Actually, it is. It's really good. Yeah, it's only a little bit different from the first one. But yeah, I've also got a netbook on me." And then they must have gone, "Netbook and iPad 2. Very interesting. Sit button, Betty walks through." Anyway, that's not going to be on the podcast. This week on New...
Are you in France?
Yes. Yeah, oui. This week on new releases, we're shifting into Om Nom's face. That sounded slightly rude. I'll do that again.
Didn't it? Yeah.
This week on new releases, we're cutting your mama with an unleashed shift.
What on earth? You can do that again.
Then I might leave that one. No, wait, okay, let's try this again. Last time. This week, we're catching your mama running down a temple, putting her in a rope, and then cutting it. Shift 2, unleashed.
That was good.
At the end. Yeah, that was all right. Right, yes, so this week's new releases. Let's start with the top. Shift 2, unleashed, coming out for iPhone and iPad. It's been mislabeled here as just iPhone by both us and EA. Thanks very much, EA UK. Could you send me the right information next time? Anyway, as some eagle-eyed readers spotted, it is coming to iPad as well at the same time. And it is out now, if you're listening to this podcast. Shift 2 Unleashed. I really liked the original Shift. It's actually one of my favorite racing games on the iPhone and my iPad. Very nicely done. Very good handling. Even the drifts weren't too bad. I mean, they weren't that great. I actually prefer it to Real Racing 1 and 2.
Hmm.
Just because it's more arcadey, it's got a better structure to the level, like the campaign and everything. Hmm. So I'm quite looking forward to this.
I like the way on the screenshot it says Scorch Asphalt.
Yeah.
Asphalt.
There's more cars, tracks, and speed. And
no, I wonder, is that a digger? Is that a digger game off, you think? Scorching
yeah.
Asphalt. Oh, that asphalt game.
To be honest, yeah, asphalt. Anyway, yes, there are 40 cars. There's lots of upgrades you can do, of course. They got lots of locations. and you got Origin leaderboards, which is an interesting maneuver. So their new online service Origin is being used for the leaderboards.
Everything's going to get that.
Yeah. I thought it was just distribution, but apparently no. EAR.
No, it's a whole social doobry. It's their
platform social doobry.
Yeah, no, they're building the whole thing, so it's distribution and kind of community and chat and sending challenges, and they seem a little bit unsure about when I was talking to EA about it. They basically said they're building the framework and they're just letting the game teams in the beginning decide how they implement it. So I think some, you know, it'll probably take them, you know, maybe like even a year until like there's a set of features that go across all their games, because it just depends on what
the
kind of can do depending on how much time they got, kind of thing. But no, it's a big play. It's they're building their own effectively gaming Facebook. It's a bit more than Steam, I think.
Man. Well, yeah, Shift to Unleash looks nice as all of EA's races do look.
Yep.
Although all the pictures I've seen are from behind the car, which, as everyone who's played Shift or indeed any serious racing fan knows, is not the view you take. You go in the cockpit, you go in the car. If you're really mental, you go on the bonnet. I used to play on the bonnet view, actually, on the PC, because my PC wasn't very fast back in the day, in like the mid-90s. But if you put on the bonnet, no, just under the bonnet camera view, then it seemed like it was moving a lot quicker than it is when you're behind the car.
Okay.
Yeah, it's true. Anyway, Temple Run. That's the next one up.
Mm-hmm.
By Harbour Master creator Imangi Studio.
Yep.
Uh-huh. I really love Harbour Master. I think it's one of the best line drawing games out there. More so than Flight Control, even. Mm. So... kind of looking forward to Temple Run, although
nothing to do with line drawing.
It's nothing to do with line drawing. Yeah, it's a sort of 3D endless running game where you swipe across the screen to change direction. You swipe up the screen to jump, and you control a little man running across like very narrow battlements of a temple. You tilting the vice from left to right to pick up things and then power them up.
You swipe down as well to dodge.
Swipe down to dodge, yes.
You're being chased by nasty things.
Yes.
Nasty monkeys or something. Eat devil monkeys.
So, yeah, I mean, it's an endless running game again. I like endless running games, but I'm kind of getting a bit sick of them.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think they need work if there's like a good social kind of aspect. So
yeah.
So you ran this far and I'm gonna beat you. So it's yeah.
What would be nice if it had lots of ghosts of people near you.
Yes.
But I don't think it does.
Yeah.
Oh well. Anyway, Temple Run, that's out. I should say the prices. It means I have to click the link. Oh no, they're not out yet, of course. So no, I can't. Yes.
I can't remember. I think it's maybe $199. I think.
New Zealand dollars.
No, US.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah. Ember Winds. This is one of Chillingo's releases this week, predictably. You play a gnome called Kindle Elderwood, and you've got to save a world from a gremlin. It's sort of a platform action game, from what I saw earlier.
It's kind of like just a side-scroller.
Yeah. It's quite nice lighting. So it's like a sort of almost traditional...
It looks a bit old-school, doesn't it?
Yeah. Traditional sort of action side-scrolling platform with some quite nice lighting effects. Lots of items leaping out when you kill people. Bosses, cannons where you fire stuff from. Hey, it looks quite good. Looks quite fun. We'll see how that does a bit later in the week. One game that doesn't look that fun, Ninja Fishing. It's basically just a massive rip-off of Fruit Ninja, but with an added bonus section where you put a fishing rod down and catch a fish, which then leaps up and then you've got to slice them in the air. I mean... I don't know. You can upgrade stuff.
But isn't this the game that ripped off Radical Fishing? Isn't this the one that caused loads of hassle? Because there's an indie game called Radical Fishing that is exactly the same as this.
Yeah.
But it was all like sketchy design, and then they were going to make it for iPhone, and this one came out, and then there's been a big fuss about it, and they've actually renamed. Their one's going to be Ridiculous Fishing. Can they make it really ridiculous? But yeah, basically, they've been fairly naughty.
Oh, yes, it is. Yeah, you're right. Radical Fishing. Yeah, it's almost exactly the same.
Yeah.
Indeed, with even power-ups and everything.
So, yeah, that was another one of those Clone Wars.
Yeah, well, okay, don't bother buying Ninja Fishing. It's already a clone of Fruit Ninja, anyway. Anyway, but with fish. Kicking Mama. Now, the trailer for this is great. Hothead. Really know how to make trailers. It's Hothead Games again. They were recently seen with Card Combat. This one looks pretty hilarious. It's basically a cross between Peggle and an Angry Birds, I guess, would be the nearest equivalent. You're a blue monster which needs to get gems to buy herself a necklace. So you do this by kicking your babies into gems, and then every gem they hit goes then into like a sort of Peggle-esque level where, and then like goes down and hits other bonuses, and it's very it looks quite fun.
It looks good, doesn't it? Yeah.
And I just like the way that the trailer video has someone dressed up as the blue alien inside the offices, presumably of Hothead, with a baby in his hand, and you get the close-up of the baby looking very sweet, and then he just kicks it across the room. That's good. I don't think the baby was actually hurt. But anyway,
no.
Kicking Mama. That's without the G. That's going to be out as well. That's good. I like that one. Here we go. Chillingo again. Taco Master. I might skip that one.
It's a time management game.
Is it? Yeah, I know, but it didn't look good. A time management game should be like where you're playing this woman who's in a beauty salon or an air stewardess.
We had the good one last week, didn't we? The Jet Set Go. That was Chillingo. That was good.
Was it Chillingo Jet Set Go?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Ah, I gave that one to Keith.
Yeah.
I haven't read the review yet.
I had a quick play of it. It's a bit more in depth.
I like time management games. Me and Keith are the only two people it seems who likes mad time management games.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I like them a little bit.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. So.
Not very good at them, but...
The review isn't live yet, so we shouldn't even be talking about it.
Be live by tomorrow, won't it?
Yeah, probably will. Yeah, yeah.
I didn't say what score it had, did I? I just said he liked it.
It's got a, he's got a silver. yes, yeah, he does like it. Well, yeah, maybe Taco Master is all right.
Come on, let's move on.
All right, Final Fantasy Tactics. We've talked about that. Yeah. Cut the Rope Experiments.
Yeah, I'm surprised they've not mentioned, because this is kind of quite a surprise, wasn't it?
Yes.
No one seemed to know about it, and then it was suddenly out. You kind of think,
yes, what's going on?
That's odd, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the sequel to Cut the Rope.
assume it's Chiningo, is it?
I don't think so. I think this is actually Zepto publishing.
Well, they've done the usual thing, have they?
Yeah, they've done the usual thing. We use the success of your first game with Chiningo to then break out and do your own. Well, yeah, that's probably why we haven't heard about it, because they didn't do a very good job of publicising it.
They haven't got any PR, have they, I guess?
No.
Oh, well.
Cut the Rope Experiments. 3 new packs, 25 new levels. Loads of new features like suction cup, rope shooters. I think this might be the one where Omnom moves around as well. Although I may be wrong with that. But that was flaunted as the sequel.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
I mean, it's like a whole new... What the heck is Epto doing? Get it out to the press, damn it. Obviously, it's going to be featured by Apple. So, I mean, people are going to know about it within the next week anyway. So, but, you know, we want to know about it as well. We're big fans of the game. Well, I am. Yeah, we'll have a review of that pretty sharpish, I'd imagine. And again,
still there's more games.
Still there's more. Puerto Rico HD. I've been waiting for this.
Your kind of game.
It is my kind of game. It's a board game. It's a European board game as well. So that's the general term. You don't actually have to have beer from Europe when you make the board game to be called a European board game, which I think is kind of sad for the American board game makers out there. Anyway, it's European in terms of its style, in that you have to work together with other players in a way to win the game. You each take, it's based on the board game, best-selling, it's been number one on BoardGameGeeks.com for ages in terms of liking. I don't like it quite as much as some of the others I've reviewed in the past. I don't think it's as good as Catan or Carcassonne, which are another two of the gateway games, which are often quoted in the same sentence. But I think it's quite a clever game. You all have to pick a different role every turn, and each of these roles could do one element better than the others. But every role can, you, even if you're the mayor, you can do something else. But anyway, I've got it wrong. The role can do, if you pick, say, the mayor, you get a bonus on that particular role, but every other player can also do that action in that turn. Mm. So it's kind of a weird one where you have to try and block people off without actually sacrificing, cutting your own face off, as it were. And basically, it's all about settling the new world as the Spanish. It doesn't have slaves in the game, which is controversial, because basically they do have slaves in the game, but they don't call them slaves. And it's a fun game. It's trying to build up gold. I don't know how well it's going to work with AI, so I'm hoping the multiplayer is pretty solid, personally, because it is very, it's possibly even more so than Catan. It's very much reliant on how good your opponents are at the game to have a fun game. Anyway. Super Granny, action-packed adventure game set in a pensioner's backyard. Looks very old school. Looks very.
Super Granny is another. It was like a really big PC game, casual PC game back in the day.
Never heard of it before.
No, it's not a massive one. I remember because originally there were some Java versions of it, like 3 or 4 years ago. I remember kind of playing some.
We can race through the next couple of games.
Yeah.
Get out my Galaxy HD. It's now universal. That's a good game. Looks lovely as well. Colosseum Heroes has been re-released. Well, Colosseum's been re-released. I'm guessing from the fact that they've been added Heroes at the end. Because it was out. This is Gameville game. Action side-scrolling RPG. It was out months ago. Years ago on the iPhone. Now it's been re-released as Heroes. It's probably something different about it. But yeah, it's basically the same game. Toss the Ball. Namco going a bit weird. Doing a carnival game,
weird, isn't it?
Where you toss a ball into holes.
It's like skee ball again, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, Arenas, Trial of Valor. Valor spelt wrong without the U. It's a fast-paced turn-based action... No, turn-based adventure set in a fancy world. Yeah. It's mainly an online game, from what it looks like.
Really?
Yeah, that could be interesting. 10 playable races, 10 towns and arenas, 200 spells, 250 creatures to defeat. Yeah, it does sound interesting, actually. I don't think I assigned it for review. Never mind. Maybe I did. Problem is these RPGs, they're quite long. Anyway, yeah, so that's out as well. That actually does look good. I don't think the graphics look very good, but it could be an interesting one for the niche, as John calls us.
You're all niche.
Right, that's the new releases.
Yeah, a lot of them. Supposed to be like a quiet summer. Obviously not.
Yeah. Let's go on to what we've been playing.
Okay.
What have I been playing this week, John?
I don't know. I don't know what you've been
I've been playing Guns and Glory World War II. For iPhone and Android. And I'm guessing iPad as well, but I can't confirm that. Yes, it's not out yet, so don't rush the App Store. I was over in Germany, which is why I'm tired now, because I was over in Germany for one day, and I had to leave to go to... If you've been following me on Twitter, you'll know this, because I've been moaning. But I had to leave at 1:45 in the morning to catch the train to the station. Well, no, I had to drive to the station. And then anyway, I was 1:45. I got back at 2 a.m. the next day, and I had 2 hours sleep before that, and I was knackered.
Knackered.
So apparently, knackered means something different in the U.S.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I was told it had sexual connotations.
I think it. Yeah.
Like you're tired after sex.
I think it kind of does in the UK as well.
Does it? I thought it was just you're tired. I'm knackered, mate. I'm knackered. Oh. Anyway, yes, so I had a hands-on. The original, with millions of downloads of the original, originally a Java tower defense game, then taken over to our smartphones. Did really well on Android especially. And not really much as, well, there have been quite a few changes, I'm lying, for the sequel. For one thing, it's not set in the Wild West. It's now in World War II, as per the name. You can still move your troops around the map freely. They aren't stationary, like other tower defense games. And there are now upgradable things. There's coins you can earn. And there's in-app purchases as well, if you don't want to earn the coins. I mean, it looks really good. The cartoon graphics... obviously I didn't get much time with the game, so I don't know how it advances. It wasn't a finished build, so I can't tell you if it's going to be good or not, but I can say it looked interesting. I mean it looks like another solid game from Handy Games.
Definitely know what they're doing when it comes to that kind of stuff, don't they?
So it is out later in the year. I don't have a more exact date than that. It's out in summer. There you go. But yes, it looks interesting. The only worry about it that I have is that you won't be able to earn coins enough to keep your troops upgraded to the point where you don't have to repeat a level constantly. That's the only problem I have. Like, that might happen, that might not happen, so don't take that as gospel. But, I've been told it shouldn't be the case, but...
That's kind of a balancing, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. That's a tricky element. So, yeah. Other than that, I haven't been playing any other games because, of course, we're recording on Wednesday, so the new games aren't out yet, so I haven't played them. John?
Again, not because I've been out and about. I've not really...
You're playing...
Is that a funny noise?
No, that's the car. You've been playing Battlefield 3 on the PS3.
It doesn't really count on our podcast, does it?
No, that's true.
Yes. Very good. Yes. Anyway. what have I been playing? I've been playing a bit of Temple Run, actually. I got an early build of Temple Run, which is, it's kind of, as we suggested, in and of itself, it's doesn't do, I mean, it's kind of well presented and everything, but it doesn't do anything that amazing, I don't think. I mean, it's kind of solid. But I think you need the social glue to really...
The social glue? Are you being paid by them now?
Am I what?
Are you being paid by them now?
Who, social glue?
No, glue.
Oh, that glue. No, you need, unless... Because in these kind of games, I'm not particularly competitive. I'm not like, oh, I've got to beat my high score. I'm just like, oh, I'll play for a bit and give up. But I think so probably for non-niche players like me, big niche, I kind of need a bit more of a kind of a kind of push. So Temple Run. This is a game I think came out. When did it come out? I think it came out last week. And it's, I mean, maybe it's more a simulation. I don't know. It's called Orbital Sling.
Orbital Sling.
Yeah. I think that's what it's called. Yeah.
A simulation, but what? How? Why?
Well, as it kind of suggests, it actually did come from Orbital Slingshot. That's what it's called.
Ah, okay.
And it's developed by a student in America, and it was kind of part of an education kind of project thing he was working on. And it actually, bizarrely enough, it was designed to teach teenage girls about gravitational physics, which kind of seems like an odd thing to know. it's kind of weird because I can't see, there's no particular gender kind of focus that I can particularly see in the game. It's just basically it's a kind of a physics simulation where you have to kind of fire your satellite at various through various kind of like planetary systems.
Do the planetary systems are they in the shape of purses?
Purses? No, there's nothing at all to do with women's. There's no pink or anything. The colours.
What?
Colours like a kind of like a green blue. I don't know. But for someone who quite like that kind of physics-y kind of stuff. But it's in a sense, it's not that hard to do these kind of games. You know, it's quite easy to work out the physics of different sized objects. You know, kind of 1/r² kind of stuff. But it's quite the presentation's kind of nice, not graphically so much as there's like a you can use kind of tilt to kind of do kind of a fine aim, because basically you pick a spot anywhere on the star map where your satellite's going to fire in that direction, and then obviously its actual path is bent around by the kind of the planets in the way. You set the power fairly simply. There's kind of like let's have a look at this. Six kind of power settings. Five power settings. And just kind of, you know, anyway, I've been playing that. I would there's a free version as well, so you can kind of just check it out if you like physics-y simulation type things. I've quite enjoyed that. Another game, but actually this came out a while ago, because I've not been on the podcast for a while, because I've just been like you, jetting around.
Yeah.
Various places. Although staying for longer than a day. Cause that's
crazy. Yeah, it is crazy.
And so this is a fairly popular Flash game called Space's Key.
Yes. This is the very minimalist square vicious game.
Yeah. So, and I kind of got a little bit kind of I'm not obsessed with it. I'm actually, again, really bad at it. Basically, all that happens is there's a two-color block level, and from one side, either the left or right, it does kind of change depending on the level, a square block moves along the ground, and all you have to do is tap it to make it jump, and there's obviously various obstacles in the way, and if it hits them, it explodes into a pile of smaller kind of pixels. So it's a very simple. It becomes, I guess, a kind of rhythm action game, in a way, that you're trying to. But the good thing about it is, and even the level design, it's like 43 levels for some reason, and the level design, some of it's brilliant, and some of it's like a little bit. Kind of odd. It's not very necessarily a very coherent set of levels, I don't think, but it's just a really kind of fun thing that you, because as soon as you start getting, as soon as your block starts kind of crashing into things, then you kind of completely lose rhythm. So it's almost a case of like failing and then trying to get back into the rhythm of things. And when I first started, there's one level, I can't remember, like level 28 or something, literally I lost 1,000 lives on it. I mean, it is, you have to do two jumps and get them exactly right. So it's like you do a jump and then pretty much not quite straight away. That's the issue. You have to do another jump. I mean, you can play it for free on Flash, but I think it's 99 cents. So I would thoroughly recommend if you really want to lose hours. I am playing again now. I'm terrible at it.
What's the best someone has done?
Well, someone's done sub 50.
So no one's got zero yet.
Well, no, because you have to... No. I don't think you could do zero. I think that would be...
Yeah, well, some people said that doing the 100 metres in under 10 minutes was impossible. 10 seconds was impossible. You just got to have dedication, John. That's what you need.
I'm dedicated. I've not done it in under... I think I may have done it in under 100. Oof. But I just get stuck. I get thrown by. If I don't do... If I can do level 28 in 10, then I'm all right. Otherwise, I'm completely screwed.
Okay, well, yes. That's just...
Or knackered. I'm completely knackered.
three interesting sounding... Were they games? Games, I think. Yeah.
Entertainment
devices.
Not really big games. Not really.
No, disappointing.
You're a blockbuster kind of guy, aren't you?
I'm a blockbuster guy. I enjoy the resale shop. Anyway, let's leave it for this podcast. I think I'm going to fall asleep in a second. Otherwise, unfortunately, not because of you, John. Just that because I'm fatigued.
You are
incredibly fatigued. But before I go, before John goes, I think there's something you need to tell all the listeners, isn't there, John?
Is there?
Something about Sonic and Sega?
Why are you getting on? No.
Damn it. Okay. I'm too tired to think of a funny voice. All right. So, look, okay, I'm just vocoding this one. Going to sound better once I put the vocoder on it.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, it sounds awful at the moment. Yes, so thankfully you won't be able to hear that because I'll be editing it. Thank you very much, John. It has been cool. A pleasure as always, and thank you very much to the listeners. It has also been a pleasure, even though you never said anything. You never contribute, do you? You just listen. You just listen.
You're still there. I kind of wonder if they'd shut the door again quietly at some point.
I don't know. I have no idea anymore. I don't know what's going on. I don't even know if you're being serious or not just then. yeah, but we'll be back next week.
Will we have friends next week?
Well, hopefully Damon and... Well, Keith and Damon will be here.
That'd be nice.
I might not be, though, because I might be just still sleeping. Yeah.
Actually, I might not be. I can't think of it.
What? Okay, well, Keith and Damon are supposed to be here next week. One of these days, you know, I'm going to be going on holiday. And then what are you guys going to do?
I've done it before.
Yeah, but your sound levels are all crazy. I got a complaint. Hey. We got a 2-star review on our...
Did we?
On our App Store page because of the sound levels, yeah. yeah, well, eventually I'm going to go on holiday at some point. And I have a really good time. That's not today. I will see you guys next week. John won't. Have a good one. Bye-bye.